It's a new year. That's right. Once again, it is 2026. Brand new year, which means NFL playoffs are starting. Coaches being let go. Potential NBA trade. A Raw anniversary occurring. And add in a dash of NXT call-ups, and you'll have a recipe for exciting January. So pump up the volume in your car and headphones. Take a break from the crazy world we live in as we kick off the first 2026 episode of No Word Barred Podcast. Hello, 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 everybody. Happy New Year. Welcome. 2026. First episode of No Word Barred Podcast for the calendar year. As always, this is Mo, joined by my co-host, Chris Mack, over in ATL.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Looks like it's a lot going on. You tell me, man.
So, New Year's here. I didn't really have like any full body resolutions, but I think one thing I wanted to do for this year is to go on a new sneaker journey. And, you know, it just start looking and buying some more sneakers to add to my shoe collection. Refresh, you know, some of the new pair, some, you know, the old pairs, I have some new ones. My first purchase of this year, I bought the AE2s, man. Anthony Edwards, some shoe from Adidas. I just love the look of it. Real cool, presentation, of the With Love colorway. I wanted to get like the black and white one. And now it looks like he's providing like three or four more new colorways within the next month or so. I'm like, damn, I really might try to like cop a pair. You know, right now, like there's like a couple other shoes I'm hoping to get, sometime this year. If not, I'm probably just going to be moving around, local shoe store, DSW retail spot, just to start slow, and just get a couple, for the look and something to wear every day as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sneakers right now because you had posted it earlier today or a couple of days yesterday, probably.
Oh man. Hey, breaking news, y'all. We might just get to it right now, man. It's official. Yes. Trae Young is going to the Washington Wizards for CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert at this moment. Right now, you hear it here first on No Words Barred.
Yeah.
Trae Young is now officially a Washington Wizard. In this deal with CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert, it's happened, man. We were going to get on it, but it's official, man. Four-time All-Star is now coming to DC. This is interesting.
Hey, man, that's huge. That's huge for y'all. That's huge for y'all, man. Man, wow, Trae Young. That's insane, man. That's crazy.
This is incredible, man. I'm like, wow. DC.
Wow. Wow. Man, another DeBarge coming to DC.
So this is this deal, of course, I feel like there's going to be an expanded framework around it, but initially thoughts now since we're here. This is 2 years in the making as far as, Trae Young's time with Atlanta coming to an end. He's been there for 7 years with the organization. His fate was sealed, when he was traded for Luka Doncic in that 2018 draft. But he became the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Had I believe it was the Eastern Conference finals run in 2021. It looked like things were on the up initially during that time, when they made that run. But you also got to consider the fact that was also like, that was the COVID year. I would say pre-COVID year where everyone was getting destroyed by health and safety protocols. And, your best wealth was health that year. literally. And Atlanta was one of the few healthier teams around, and they took advantage and pulled through. But they were never able to recapture that success in Magic. In the year since, they made a couple of changes along the way. You know, they traded away John Collins. You know, they end up bringing in DeShante Murray to see if he could become not only added firepower to the team, but someone that could get the ball out of Trey's hands and have him play off ball. And unfortunately, that just did not work out. It also shown this, you know, showed the initial seeds of Atlanta, you know, reconsidering their prospects with Young, especially in a wake where he will be out of injury and Murray is, you know, the lead point guard for most of those games. And he's exceeding expectations, you know, as the top, number one option. And Atlanta's just functionally better, you know, without Trey at the helm. But, you know, let's not get carried away, man. That dude got a lot of people paid on that team. And, you know, when it was good, you know, when it was good, Trey at State Farm Arena was like a marvel to watch. It was so electric.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it was just a case of, you know, it just hit his, I can't say hit his breaking point. It was just at the time, the organization fell out of love with him. And that showed, you know, this past summer where they did not want to extend his contract. At that point, that was already the first step of, you know, the Hawks looking to move away from him. And he goes down with injury earlier this season. Jalen Johnson comes up as the number one guy, and he becomes the number one guy of this team. And they played better without him. You know, I believe they're what, 15-12 without Trey, and what, 2-8 with them. And when, since he's returned, they were 0-6. So it was, it was inevitable when the noise started increasing. You know, it was only a matter of time before, you know, Trey is ready to move on out. And,
yeah,
you know, he had announced his intentions that he wanted to leave. You know, I figured that, you know, we were going to start seeing deals out the woodwork. I didn't really know that it was, you know, Washington was not only seriously considering taking him in, but Trey actually being open to the idea of coming to Washington. What we do know that with our, you know, new front office, Travis Slink, you know, he's part of the front office, as I believe is a vice president of talent. I believe it's like talent or evaluation. And, you know, and he was the general manager of the Hawks at the time when they drafted Trae Young. And, you know, if anything, no one would know Trae more like Travis. So I guess he wanted to bring his guy in. And I guess he's going to come in. I look like with the intention of he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the main guy, you know, when he's on the floor for this time. But this is essentially a low risk, high reward move for Washington. Already, they were going to deal with $80 million in cap space this upcoming summer because CJ McCollum was on expiring, as was Chris Middleton. You know, Corey Kispert was on a trade family contract. We knew that he was going to be leaving this year. You know, so this, they were able to absorb, you know, the $45 million option, you know, $45 million option that Trey has on his contract this summer. You know, all in all, you know, if he comes in, you know, and he gets the tires rolling, he's able to replay his value up and, you know, the team is like killing with him there, and he's performing well, and, you know, getting back to the form that we all knew of what he could do, of being like a 25-10 guy. This could work out in his favor of getting that extension that he wants, and Washington being able to lock him down. However, you know, again, we're not trying to win games here. Like, if anything, I could see us winning 10 more games the rest of the season. We've already played 36. Like, there's plenty of room for us to lose a lot of games, you know, and potentially come away 20-62.
Yeah.
You know, but what I'm seeing right now and how the Wizards been playing lately, like, the energy and the identity is starting to shift in a positive way. Alex Saar, you know, is taking a major leap from his rookie year, you know, averaging, you know, 2.5 blocks. I think he's leading the league in blocks right now. Or is him and Wemby, they're like neck and neck. And Jesus, that's going to be a scary front court for France. Putting up 18 points per game off of 49% shooting, you know, higher than it was last season for sure. Like, he's like up in the high 30% in threes. Like, he has just been such a great defensive stalwart. And, you know, he's going to have his moments where, you know, it's shaky and, you know, the better bigs are going to just steamroll him. Like, Joel Embiid did that tonight. And Rudy Gobert did that earlier on Sunday. Like, you know, the veterans are going to, you know, still put him to work. But there's going to be moments where he's going to shine and, you know, and have unbelievable performances. And he's been more consistent than not this season. You've seen the growth of Keyshawn George being more of like, you know, a point forward of sorts, you know, having the ball in his hands, trying to create plays, and also getting his shot together. Rookie Trey Johnson, he's just been growing leaps and bounds with each game now. And now that he's been inserted into the starting lineup, I can see the sky's the limit for him. And now you get Trey there with all these, like, young starlets. And Bilal Coulibaly, too, who is showing, you know, the defensive form that he had last season and still coming into his own as well. So I guess, you know, that wrist injury that he had earlier in the year is starting to, like, heal up fully, and he's starting to be well informed. You know, this team here, you know, like, I mean, I'm going to have a hell of a ride watching them for the rest of the year.
Yes, I know you are.
And yeah, it's going to be fun. But I'll tell you this, man. Like, when this news started coming out, and I see all these media pundits, podcasters, even my own friends and mutuals, like, the prospect of Trey going to Washington,
yeah,
was just felt like such a no from all these guys. Like, just the fact that it's the Wizards, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have Jeff Teague, man, talking about how he wants every point guard in the league to go the fucking Sacramento. But balk at the fact of
what?
You know, the fact of Washington, the fucking Wizards.
Sacramento. It's just
like too bad or too much for a player to go, too much of a star of his caliber to go to, you know, and play with, you know, because, you know, they clown my franchise for decades.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They will shit on them for losing and having, you know, nonsensical front office decisions, you know, in years past.
Uh-huh.
But in the event when we're trying to become better, when we want to bring in talent to become better, we want to develop and, you know, nurture our young stars coming in, our rookies, and rebuild and wanting to perform and get and improve day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take that seriously.
No.
And I'm like, no, like, what the fuck? Who are you guys? Like, this, it's just it's really bullshit for me, you know, just to have to sit there and watch it. I know that my team sucks. I know that they're bad.
That's right. You
know, we aren't the only bad team here in the NBA.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
always feels like that we're more the running joke than, say, Charlotte or Utah or, you know, even Orlando when they were bad. Or the last few seasons, you know, it always comes back to us. You know, the Clippers, you know, they haven't won shit.
No.
And I feel like at times they get talked about more for being the joke, while, you know, in reality, no one gives a fuck about us at all. But the moment that we're trying to get some, you know, recognition and awareness of what we're building here and what Will Dawkins and the front office of Washington is looking to do, you know, they see it as something that they can't make sense of. I'm like, bro, like, don't y'all don't care about us, so why y'all have to feel like I have to talk about us? Like, worry about your own fucking team. You know, and, you know, you can tell how passionate I am for this team because...
Yes, yes.
You're a Bulls fan.
Yes.
You guys haven't done shit since, you know, the Jordan years, and outside of Derrick Rose and his MVP run.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, not a lot of folks will come down as hard on you guys or what the seasons you are and the mediocrity and the malaise that your front offices have been for the past decade now.
Yeah.
And because they're hoping, they're praying, they're begging to see Chicago, to see the Lakers and the Pistons and the Knicks and the Sixers go back to their old glory days again. Because that's what makes, quote, the NBA good. They don't give that same type of respect for Washington, despite the fact that the team does have an NBA title in their brinks. Yeah. Albeit it was in the 1970s, right?
Right. Right.
But still, like, we had runs, you know, just that last second. Like, the Bill and Wall era was not that long ago. It was a decade ago.
Yeah.
And that was the most exciting time for me as a Wizards fan. And it can, at the very moment, you get the inkling of something positive coming.
Yeah.
And really liking the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And the current play of my team for these last 10 or so games. They're a middle of the tier defense right now. 15 in the last 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to be proud of. I'm like, wow, you know, they're really out there competing. They're supporting each other every night. And like, again, I'm watching the second year rookie players just improve night in and night out.
Uh-huh.
I see veteran players like Justin Champagne and, you know, Chris Middleton and McCollum when he was there for those 35 games. Like, they get better and they help these guys along the way. And now, I'm seeing the fruits of the labor. I'm seeing that the energy and this identity is shifting right in front of me. And I can tell just going forward, like, this team is not going to back down. Like, they really did believe in what they were going to do. Earlier this season, they said something had to change. You know, we were getting blown out by 30, 40 points. And it clearly something did. Something's got to them, and these guys are playing for each other, and they're having some incredible performances. Like the Orlando game, they blew a 26-point game. Like, they were up by 26, blew the lead, got it down to 2. But Alex Saar came in and made big stop after big stop, held it down. But it's another thing with the Magic. It was their bench that brought them back, not their starters. We beat the shit out of the starters. And, you know, that's another discussion for another time with that team.
Yes.
But for me right now, I'm like, there's no harm in this move here. And I would not be shocked if Trey immediately start playing as good as this weekend, you know, because, you know, they held them off with a quad contusion. And honestly, I felt like most of it was malarkey just to hold them off until he got a move in. And now that that's done, I can see him definitely start him getting back into the fold. And again, I'm like, I can see him. Let me see here. We've got 36 games in, played 82.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 46 games. I see him play half a day. I see him play half a day, like 20, 25 games. And then he shuts down for the rest of the season, you know, because we're still trying to secure our lottery chances, you know. But in those 25 games, I see him, you know, he's going, hopefully he's going to put on the show, man.
And
you know, it just because he's definitely going to be bringing asses to the seats, man. I want to see Capital One Arena more packed than it was before, at least, you know, 80%
on a non like a LeBron or Steph Curry game.
Yes,
you know, like,
yes.
Yeah. No, I get it, man. Nah, you're right. You know, yeah. You know, no matter what my Bulls do, you know, and I believe me, I hear my share of jokes and shit about Chicago, you know, not being shit since the Jordan years and that 1 or 2 years of Derrick Rose, at his best. But, you know, I kind of, and as I was hearing you describe it, you know, how you was feeling about it, and especially how, you know, everybody got shit to say when y'all are down and how bad y'all are, even though you know y'all bad. Like, it's not like you shy away from it. And then when something good is happening or starting to happen, then people got some shit to say. You know, then everybody's like, oh, why them? It's almost basically like, well, why them? Why are they getting that? You know, like, yeah, like, y'all don't deserve, like, as it was, like, it comes off as like, oh, well, Wizards fans, they don't deserve that shit. You know, and they get treated like this where, you know, in the league, you know, they, like you said, they want their big money team, those original teams, you know, like you said, you know, the league is always going to want the Lakers and the Celtics and the 76ers and the Knicks, you know, those teams that, you know, that the league has always been, you know, kind of thrusted upon, you know, the success of. Not to mention the league also, you know, their main headquarters in, you know, New York City anyway. So they have an extra incentive for the Knicks to win too. But still, to go back to your point, you know, I can relate to that in a sense, because through my hockey team, you know, here it is. We are still the last North American team to win 4 Stanley Cups in a row. And shit, not only that, to make it to 5 Stanley Cup finals in a row and to have a record that I don't think will ever be broken in North American sports, 19 consecutive series, playoff series won. 19. Think about that. 19 consecutive to get to 5 finals. You know, yeah, you know, of course, you know, we had our dynasties where, I guess, or, you know, numerous playoff appearances between Cleveland and Golden State, especially Golden State, you know, and they still wasn't able to break that record. Out of all the years Golden State made it to the finals recently, they still couldn't break that record.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now granted, as it was with Washington as the Bullets, you know, here it is, this stuff happened so many years ago. Right. And what happens is that as so many years go by, unless you're one of the popular teams or is the NHL, as the compare to what you were saying, how with those teams in the NBA, how the NHL are, how they treat their original six teams, the Canadiens, the Bruins, the Rangers, the Blackhawks, you know, those teams, you know, the league is always going to be more invested to make sure those teams are successful. And Toronto, can't forget Toronto. And so what happens is that with our fan base, what we've gone through, at least in the bulk of my lifetime as an Islanders fan, you know, we got so much shit for how much of a disarray we were, a joke, a laughing stock to the league, to really put it into, you know, simpler terms. You know, for the longest, we was seen as dysfunctional. And every now and then, throughout all that dysfunction, we would luck up and, you know, something would happen good, whether it was a free agent signing or a trade or whatever. More likely a trade, because free agent signings we wasn't all that good about. But still, you know, we'll have rookies, we'll have guys on team, you know, we're trying to build something up. And we're trying to get, and then we get something good happen, and people's like, well, why the Islanders? Why them? Should be us. Who cares about it? You know, and it's like, well, all right, well, fine then. Y'all don't give a shit about us. Then when something good happens for us, I don't want to hear shit. Because I don't want to hear shit about that. So I get that. And I get that. And even recently for us, you know, we've been declared as a boring team in the NHL. Due to the style that we were playing years ago, defensive minded team, structured on defense, not a lot of scoring, you know. A lot of people considered boring, even though we were winning. And we got a lot of shit then.
But still, it's like to everything that you were saying, you know, I understand that feeling. I get it 100% because I'm just as passionate about that hockey team, you know, as you are with your Wizards. And, you know, us and the fan base, we're going to, like, even the times that we know we suck, the majority of the people, we know we suck. It is what it is. We're humble. We're not going to lie to ourselves. But don't be lying to us when we're doing good and then y'all want to hate and saying we still, and you want to look at us through the lens of whatever way how it was when we were losing. Or in this case, when y'all were constantly losing, being seen as a laughing stock. So now that y'all guys are on trying to go on up and up, trying to rise up a little bit here, you know, there's going to be people who didn't want to say shit, who gave no shits about y'all. They're going to have an opinion now, especially with this, as I'm reading in real time with the reaction with this Trae Young trade. You know, there are people like, Washington? Why Washington? You know, there's probably some Lakers fans pissed because, you know, they always like to Photoshop anybody into a Lakers jersey. Because whether they're trolling or not, I saw in the beginning of the season when like a couple of Lakers accounts try to Photoshop Trae Young because they thought that he was going to get traded to the Lakers. So sorry, Lakers fans. And that's with that, you know, but like you said, only one way to see what happens. They're not going to play him much. And, you know, because y'all still have a mission at hand. Yeah. And y'all going to follow that mission, you know, see it through. Go stick with the plan, you know, not saying to trust the process like Philadelphia did, but y'all have a plan in place and you just want to stick to it. And there's no problem with that at all. And it's benefit and it benefits. You know, I mean, you see what's happening, you know, the Pistons, man, not too, you know, what was like three or four seasons ago, you know, they were at the bottom of the dumps, man. And then now look at them. You know, they got back to the playoffs last year, and now they're first place in the East. Arguably the best team in the East right now. So, and we ain't going to talk about the OKCs and the teams in the West and San Antonio's, you know, because, you know, we know about those. But there's a process, man. Y'all just got to stick to it. Simple as that. Don't derive from it.
We're not, man. Listen, man, I just want to see my young kid shine. Like, win or lose, but
– yeah.
They continue to just play well, man. We're just going to win more games than not, you know. And now Trae has set the helm. Listen, hey, I enjoyed watching him in State Farm Arena, but I need to get Capital One Arena rocking, you know, and get my team something to shine on. So, if he continues to like get back to where he was and put up big numbers, and you know, get his 15 assists here and there, and we still lose, that's a win-win for me.
That's it. That's right, man. That's right. But nah, man, that's good for y'all. Good for y'all. I know that's really been the big trade. I mean, I know there's been rumors. There's rumors, you know, Anthony Davis being traded. We don't know to where or who is going to pick him up or whatever the case may be. And for all we know, that trade.
It could be coming from him or it could be coming from his agent, bro.
You never
know, dog.
Yeah. You know, it's the same feeling. Like, whatever, Anthony Davis, wherever he goes. Like, I would suspect that it's going to wind up probably being, I guess, a playoff team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The East seems to be ripe for wanting to take good players. But I mean, we got that to look at, I guess, you know, in the upcoming days with Anthony Davis. You never know. We may have another big bomb trade, and who knows?
This is the first domino effect of trade season, bro. So,
yeah.
Now we can start seeing more moves starting to come along within the next few weeks. You know, I won't be surprised if we get, like, one more next week. And then a couple the week after it did, you know, the barrage on deadline day.
Yeah. I just know that, you know, the media, the NBA media, man, they're going to try so hard, man, to try to see what the hell is going to happen with Giannis, man. I mean, right now, you know, Milwaukee is not even in a playoff spot or play-in spot. I mean, they're right on the outside.
These next few games are crucial for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to win those games against, you know, the Warriors and the Lakers specifically to really have a shot.
Dang. And then there's Denver.
Yeah, Denver. And, you know, but Jokic is probably likely going to be out for that game. So
yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
But Denver's no slouch, man. They just beat Boston tonight. So
I got my eyes on that Bucks Spurs game next Thursday. I got my eye on that.
We finally get Giannis versus Victor.
Oh man,
knock on wood, man, because Lord, we need that one.
Man, I really want to see how that, I am anticipating to see that matchup between those two. Man, who's going to dunk on who? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if anyone, but that's going to be fun to watch, man. Let me hold on. Is that a prime game? Let me check to see if that's a prime game or any of this. Because if they just don't, man, they probably have to hear that. Yeah, it's not. That's crazy.
What is this going on League Pass?
It's League Pass, yes, for sure. But damn, you would think NBA TV. You would think one of these streaming platforms would that the NBA now shows their games on and stuff like that. That would be a game that they want to show. And I don't know if they face again. I don't know how many times they face against each other.
Yeah, they face each other. You know, this home and home. The next game is on March the 28th in Milwaukee. Okay. So far, that doesn't look televised, but I'm sure it's going to be on a Saturday. You know, they might try to squeeze that in on.
That has to, because that's a marquee matchup right there, man. Like, come on, like Giannis versus Wemby, like that's. I don't know, man. I don't know what the NBA be doing sometimes. I don't know what the hell they be thinking sometimes with that. But anyway, man, so like I said, don't know what else is going to happen with the trades in the NBA. Could happen any hour, could happen any minute, could happen 10 minutes from now, or could happen tomorrow morning. But for right now, like I said, the first domino is falling. Trae Young, DC bound. Like you said, you was talking before we were recording. Maybe he'll take a little trip towards the nightlife. I don't know, Rose Bar, one of those places. and experience the fine cuisine of DC restaurants and food too. You know, I don't know. I don't know if he did hookah down in Atlanta, because it seems like almost everybody does hookah in Atlanta. I don't know if he'll.
I'm past that, bro.
I know. Yeah. I'm more talking about, you know, I guess other. The younger crowd, I suppose, sure. You know, but yeah, so see what's happening with that. But that isn't the only stuff that's going on where moves are happening. Moves are happening in the NFL also. A lot of it due to how the final week or couple of weeks of the NFL season, how it went down. One team, for example. There was a lot on the line on a Sunday night game. It was for the AFC North division title there between the Steelers and the Ravens. And before that game, there was a lot of talk because the Steelers were on a slide. They had recently had lost that game against Cleveland, when all they had to do was just win one game and then set up for the final showdown between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, which was a crazy game. Crazy enough that the fact that I remember when the game started, something, and I was in the kitchen of my apartment, and as I was like packing up food that I had made, something, I kid you not, bro, there was a gut feeling, and I was like, you know what? This game is going to go down to the wire. This Ravens and Steelers game. And down to the wire, it went. The Ravens.
Hey, man, we saw this. We saw this coming week one, bro. We saw this coming week one, man. This is, This is the Baltimore Ravens, you know. Encapsulation, bro. This is what they do. When the pressure is on, they choke. And that happened, you know, in the game against the Steelers. And I mean, I feel for Lamar Jackson, man. But you know, his teammates just let him down no matter what.
Yeah. it feels like at some point every season they find a different way to let him down. It's insane, man. It's sad. It's really sad. I do feel sorry, but you know, it's got kicker got to make the field goal.
And apparently it was a 40-yarder too. And yeah. I hear that everybody been making 60-yarders this season.
Yeah. Well, y'all,
that should have been like a putt.
Well, not everybody has y'all kicker. Okay, they don't have whoever the guy is that kicks for y'all as the kicker. You know, making all these crazy ass Madden-esque field goals from absurd distances. Like, all right, not everybody has a kicker like the Cowboys have it. All right. You know, but still,
I mean, you know, Brandon Aubrey's the best going. You know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, we did get to the red zone or within striking distance enough to win some games for him. So, yeah. But
I didn't even feel. Baltimore,
It's just a shame, dog. You know, Lamar. I don't know, man. I don't know how much heartbreak he can take with that team.
Yeah, I know, man. But you know what? Oh, but the crazy thing about it is that. You know, a lot of the talk before the game was mostly on Tomlin's, his time as a coach, which isn't anything new, really. I mean, it feels like for the past several years, that's always been a constant talk about, all right, when is it going to be time for Tomlin?
You really thought this game was essentially, either Tomlin or Harbaugh's job was on the line here.
But the narrative was more on Tomlin instead of Harbaugh.
But that's every year for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He managed to win. Yeah, but the underlying numbers though are not they're ugly for Tomlin. Yeah. You know, they really are. But in this case for him, man, like, and listen, when it comes up to getting into the playoffs, hey, however way you get the win and get in the playoffs, you get in the playoffs. You know, and that applies to, you know, any league, any sport. That has them. But because of the fact that the Ravens lost this game, like I said, Harbaugh, he got fired yesterday, you know, after 18 seasons as the coach, which is crazy. It didn't even feel like it's 18 years that he's been the coach for the Ravens. And, you know, hey, listen, it sucks. It really does. It sucks. You know, I'm sure that the scapegoat turns out to be, you know, Harbaugh. But it is what it is. And as we see it in sports, man, it's somebody has to be the scapegoat. Somebody. And the majority of the times, it's the coach. But he had a successful run. He had a successful run with Baltimore. So, you know, I don't think the fans that, you know, from what I gather from the Ravens fans that I know, you know, it sucks, but you know, it is what it is. It is what it is, man. But because of him being available now it feels like it's like a California gold rush to try to hire this dude. And he's not the only coach that's out there that's available too. You know, he got I know Pete Carroll was fired. From head coach of the Raiders,
he should be done right there. I saw Kevin Stefanski as well, which was that was inevitable though. You know, the moment that it was already clear that the front office made the decision that Shador was going to be the starter, and it looked like it was friction between him and Stefanski. The coach's days were cooked. The fact and Shador, you know, shout out to him getting the last win of the season too. Was it against Cincinnati?
I think so.
Didn't he win most of their games this season too?
Well,
he only won like five.
he should have been the starting quarterback from the beginning of the season. If we're being honest, you know,
I would have been like 8-9, but you know,
They would have had a better record. And you know, Myles Garrett, new sack, single season sack leader.
They probably would have been on the bubble of the wild card if they would have just tashed Cordero from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, you know, but because of him being available now, Jim, he is, he even has teams that have coaches, like the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Trying to interview him. And they still got a coach. They never fired a coach. That's fucked up. I'm sorry. That's messed up. You still the coach, and there's news out there like, oh, yeah, the team is looking for another. They want to try to get another coach to replace you. And it's like, so what happens if you don't hire him? Then what, I always think about that stuff. I mean, I know, I guess, you know, money could you know, is a very luxurious cushion, I guess, in that situation, because you're going to get your money, even if they let you go.
Yeah.
You know, and NFL coaches get paid stupid money anyway. And so, you know, what was the coach's name in the Dolphins again? I forgot what's his name again.
The logic looking dude.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh shit! Let me see.
Yeah, I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue, but I just can't.
Oh, Mike McDaniel.
McDaniel. There you go. Yeah. So, if I'm Mike McDaniel, listen, man, I may want to make sure I get some resumes printed out and get that stuff straightened out, because you might be just pushed out by force if that was to happen. But
also look. This happens also in soccer too, man. With like clubs looking for a new manager, you know, while they still have the other one in place. If they don't get the right results, you know, they're going to just fire them immediately after the game. And you know, that could segue, you know, drift off too much. But my club, Manchester United, we fired our manager, Ruben Amorim. Like which I've been telling you about, like. This was going to be in the making, but it wasn't necessarily his fault. Well, yes, it actually was his fault. He called out the front office. That's what led to his dismissal.
Insane. Yeah, I mean, but I get it though. I could see that definitely happening over in soccer. I 100% I believe you on it, because I'd be reading the stuff that you'll be posting out there, and other people that I know that follows soccer just as much as you do, and it'd be very interesting when it comes up when y'all talking about coaches and all this other stuff, man. Like, what the fuck? Like, how the hell the damn what is this coach doing? Like, how are you not gonna have like damn it, I know he was offside. Like, now he's gonna be like, I just know something's gonna fuck up with that team. Like, it's always some crazy stuff like that. You know, so I'm not surprised, because soccer is just like American football is just, yeah, it's insanity. To me, it's insanity. It's same, different. It's like insanity, but in different languages.
Street chaos, man.
So I understand it from that standpoint, man. But of course, you know, for us, the Giants, you know, we got a vacancy, head coach and vacancy. So we from what I read is that we will have an interview with him next week. And let me tell you, the Giants brass, I don't know why we even the Giants, they're an unserious organization now. Like, it's kind of depressing and sad. What they've become. They've really accepted below mediocrity. They just have no standards at all. The mayor and Tish, they don't have any type of, they don't care, I feel like, because we kept our GM, that he should have been fired. Dable and everybody else is getting let go. Why is this dude still here? And he has such a horrible track record as a GM. Especially for us, like, he's one of those GMs that he just, in hindsight now, you can see, like, yeah, you just was a lucky recipient of Josh Allen. Him playing as good as he was. When he started really getting everything together and becoming the Josh Allen that everybody knows about and that has put up crazy numbers and shit for the past several seasons. You know, I think that it's just one of those things like, you know, hey, you've been able to fool everybody. You put the wool over everybody's eyes because you were the GM that was associated to when the players just started play better and the organization started winning games. And I don't know, Dable, he could have been the same thing. You know, it was a package deal, him and Sean, and they both, one has been gone, the other one should be gone. But they put out a note, they put out an email, a big message to the fans that we're keeping his GM despite the mediocrity. We know it's a disappointing season. We've had disappointing seasons for the past 7 to 8 years. It feels like, if we wasn't the New York Giants, people really be shitting on us, man. Like we're no better than like the Raiders or the Browns or any of those teams that's been bottom feeders for the past several years. We're no different than them. The only thing that saves our ass is I was talking about the Clippers, right? In a sense, you know, we got that luster. We got that shine on us. We're the New York football Giants, you know? So, but the championships, we could get away with it because we have championships too. So, but we haven't had one in forever. Feels like forever. And, you know, we're at a point, the fans, where we're just tired of the shit. We want to cheer for these guys. And you're not giving us any type of anything to get behind. Like, I know we got Dart, Scadaboo, you know, I know the emergence of both of them, you know, and then neighbors. So we actually are a fine team. We have a good
foundation, man.
Yes, we do. So right now, if any NFL coach really, it's the Ravens and Giants. Like those are the two spots that's the most that I'm pretty sure is the most coveted. And best, like, you don't have to worry about doing so much damn rebuilding. You just really at most you're just doing retooling or just still developing. Or you just, you know, just developing new players coming in. And for us Giants, you know, we're in a good spot. We just need a direction. We need a direction and we need it to be consistent and not derive from it. And if we are to miraculously get Harbaugh, number one, I feel like he would want a lot more power than a regular coach. I think he would have more decision making process on the team, the makeup of the roster, which would have to include, in my mind, letting go of the GM, Sean. But until they show me that they are capable of doing stuff like that, my expectations are going to be low. And I expect him to go somewhere else. But I'm hoping I'm wrong. Hoping I'm wrong with that. You know. But on top of that, didn't want to just dwell on the coaches. The playoffs are starting. This weekend, and
football.
There is some good matchups. I'm not gonna go like in depth on this because I do want to touch on really the important stuff that we want to touch on that's happening in the WWE world. But as far as the matchups go, the Broncos and Seahawks, they get their first round byes, best records in their respective conferences. Texans and Steelers. I think that's on Monday. That's a Monday night game. Jaguars and Bills and Patriots and Chargers. They're on Sunday.
Josh Allen legacy game down that Jaguars one.
yes. Panthers and Rams on Saturday. Which should be an interesting game. Shout out to the Panthers though. Cam Newton's gonna be there. Eagles and 49ers. I'm intrigued about that game. I got Eagles winning that game, by the way. Bears and Packers. Bears, I got Bears.
Oh, man. NFC North, you know, banger. Come on. You know.
Yeah.
It's
playoffs,
too. You know that's going to be charged.
Yes. But I'm going to say right now, out of all these games, and I will say the sleeper team in the playoffs this year, I feel like, especially for the AFC, Houston Texans, man. Houston Texans. I don't think they're getting much talk as much as they should. my man CJ Stroud. He's been had a good season. They're good, man. I see them beating the Steelers for sure. So
Rodgers is going to give it one last hurrah, bro.
Man, he is. To his credit, he helped get the Steelers back in that game against the Ravens. He did do a little bit of work there. So gotta give him a little bit of credit there. Jaguars and Bills. You know what? This actually may be the Jaguars' year to. They may be. I'm gonna pick the Jaguars for that one. I think the Jaguars are gonna beat the Bills for that one.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'm serious. I can see that happening. Patriots and Chargers. You know what?
I think the Pats won that one.
I see them winning. Chargers, I can't get behind the Chargers, man. Panthers and Rams. Rams. I'm sorry, Carolina. They're going to put up a fight. They're going to put up a good fight. But
they're going to try, but I think they're going to get rolled over.
Yeah. Rams going to win that. Like I said, Eagles and 49ers, I got Eagles winning. They're still the defending champs. So, and you do not count them out in the playoffs. They have won games where Jalen Hurts hasn't been at his best.
I haven't watched a lot this season. I don't even like talking about it that much. But as far as the playoffs go this year, is this like one of the better like collection of, you know, quarterback matchups in the wild card round?
I guess so.
This is a true new generation. You know, Aaron Rodgers is the only one that's really left.
Yeah, you're right.
From his old guard. It's really a lot of the young guys taking over now.
Right.
So we're getting, Ed, there's no Pat Mahomes this season.
Nah, not
which
at all.
Makes things wide open.
No Pat Mahomes. No Joe Burrows. None of those guys, are there. And I hate to say it, you may not want to hear it. No Dak Prescott in there. Yeah. Games are good. I think these games are going to be good competitive games, with the exception of maybe one or two of them that may be routes or blowouts. But, I mean, overall, though, I'm pretty stoked about these games. This weekend, I am very intrigued about some of these matchups. Like I said, Eagles, mm-hmm. 49ers, their defense, whatever. The Bears put up numbers on them, even though the Bears had lost by like 3 or 4 points when they faced each other, the Bears and 49ers. But then speaking of the Bears and Packers, I got Bears, man. I got Bears. So I'm sticking behind Caleb. Caleb was great. Caleb did me. He helped me out in my fantasy league. I didn't win. Nowhere was near winning, but he held me down because Brock Purdy wanted to be injured and stuff. So he was out. Purdy. So I had to get the backup, and it still happened to be Caleb. And that man, he balled out this season. So I'm going to stick with the guns. The people that helped me out. So I'm going with Chicago, winning that. So so we're gonna see what happens. I know the next episode that we do, it'll just about be the, I think it would be just about towards the, what is it, the golly, not the, this divisional, actually no, it'll be like around the conference championship or something around there.
Right before the conference championship.
We'll know what's going to happen with those games and the league as it go on. But I'm hoping for exciting games, man. I want exciting games. As much as we love our teams to be in it, man. There's also the other side of the coin where it's just like, you know what, not having any personal investment into any team. It just allows you to watch. You just feel like more relaxed watching these games, for sure. It is what it is, and it felt, and this season was just man, you know, obviously for our teams, it was just like whatever. Like I didn't even get excited with us beating y'all. Like I didn't even get excited over that. What was it? The last game of the season on Sunday. I was like, whatever.
Man, no, I was like, the season was already over for us, man.
Yeah. I know. It's like
I figured that I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas would have went with a loss there. They're on the road, have nothing to play for.
Yeah.
You know, just want to get in and get out.
That's it.
And yeah, you know, and for Giants fans, you know, get to go home happy with a last season win. You know, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a result, you know, you cost yourself the first overall pick.
Yeah, I know. Again,
so guys can't even tank right.
Again, 2 years in a row, we can't even tank right. I know. Crazy.
So you know, but hey, I mean, we all get the second pick. That's how it goes because that's how y'all don't do a lottery. It just happens that way. Your second worst record is the second pick overall.
No, we got the fifth. We got the fifth pick.
Fuck. Damn.
Yeah, that was what I was low key. I didn't mind if y'all would have won on the last game against us because I knew that if we lost, we would have been stuck at second. We would have gotten no lower than second. But by winning,
I have to ask what. So do you know like what the team is needs are? You know that be able to be that fifth overall pick.
I still say get another wide receiver. We're still pretty thin with receivers. I know we got Neighbors and you know and Slayton, but we need more wide receiver weapons, man. Reliable ones. So you know, I think about that. I got to really think about on defense. You know, which defense position we may need to shore up on. So it's, but off the top of my head right now, I feel like wide receiver. We should go after one. I mean, we're good with quarterback. The running back, we're pretty okay with. So yeah, like it's either that or like a tight end or something like that, but I still say wide receiver. Probably should draft, but for all I know, it could be somebody on deep. We need somebody like a safety or something like that. So I gotta really think about that, you know. But off the initially, I would say that wide receiver, draft one. So and I have to look to see who's available and stuff. I have not followed college football much of anything at all outside of my Miami Hurricanes. My Miami Hurricanes. We.
Yes, sir.
We slayed the Ohio State Dragon. We slayed them. That's right, man. We are in it. That's it. I'm happy. I'm happy about my Canes. I'm very happy about them. So, I will definitely be cheering them on, and hopefully, you know, we could get a national title, man. Hopefully, that would be nice. That would be nice to see, man. We got our revenge. Because Ohio State did that to us, you know, many, many moons ago. You know, where we were the favorite. And we was on a hell of a run at that time. And Ohio State came through and just like, man, we sucked that night. Ohio State got us. So it's nice to return the favor after all these years. You know, so I'm happy about that. But man. Forget about this football stuff, man. A lot of stuff has gone down in WWE TV the past few days. There's still more in store come Friday SmackDown. As they are now going to go they're going like to like a Europe leg of their shows and tours, like, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what they're about to do.
They're starting this week.
Yeah. You know, but it was really the main important, really to really start off with And I want to start off with NXT because it is really going to tie into the latest developments that happen on the main roster shows anyway. And unless, you know, if you're not really haven't been following, there has been a lot of talk with numerous NXT stars that, you know, there's been some talk about certain people moving up to the main roster. And a lot of times when we hear stuff like this, you know, we normally hear it at different, you know, I guess at various points during the year. And I think a lot of it normally centers around like WrestleMania time or something like that, or really SummerSlam, since that's also becoming a big focal point too. And, you know, we'll hear names, and then it's just, and then it doesn't happen. Or it doesn't happen at that point, and then it happens like maybe half a year or whatever later. Lately, they've been showcasing, well, I want to say like the three main ones they've been showcasing. Four. I guess I'm going to say four. Because you got Javon Evans. They've been showcasing a lot. Yes. Trick Williams. They've showcased a good amount. Not as much as Javon, but still.
But definitely as far as CNA goes.
Right, you know. right, exactly. The third one is, golly, wow, oh my gosh. You know what, I could, Oba Femi, you know, that, which, you know, made huge impression on a lot of people from his match with Cody at Saturday Night Main Event last month. And also, as we found out, Jordynne Grace. Now, she's about to be main roster bound on SmackDown. That's four. That's four.
But you also have to include Lash Legend. Ooh,
Lash Legend, yeah. Yes, yeah. I include her in there. Lash.
Which pretty much confirmed, you know, Trick coming as well.
Oh, yeah.
But just the speed of bringing in Javon and Oba, what it looked like they were building like a long-term storyline on NXT for them, involving the NXT title. You know, they said they scrapped that.
Yeah,
like, they were ready to go. They couldn't hold on to them any longer. They were just too big, especially Javon.
Yeah,
too big to ignore. And you have to go and move him into the main roster now. And
yeah,
he's already going to be a future Intercontinental Champion, like off the rip. Like,
this dude
is going to be there, right there, electrifying the mid-card. It's unfortunate that Dom is dealing with an injury right now. So, you know, that's going to be put on pause, but I'm sure they're going to make sure that his time, you know, starting out on Raw is going to be very pleasant. And he's going to get involved with some stuff very soon. Trick, like, it's clear, Trick and Oba, I believe both should be on SmackDown. You got to have him in the world title picture now. You know, right now. And for Trick's case, like, he's definitely going to be in that mix. He's going to make his in-ring debut in Berlin, Germany on SmackDown. Like, that shit is going to be dope. It's going to be interesting to see how, you know, the European crowds will take to him. Because, you know, we know how big he is here stateside.
Right.
But I'm interested to see how, you know, they will react to Trick Williams making his debut there. But Jordynne Grace, goddamn, SmackDown desperately needed her.
Yes.
Desperately. They just needed someone to be there to work in that the world title picture. And just another high-level worker in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, like, we already have Meechin and B-Fab apparently hurt, you know, during this whole process of trying to work with Jade. I feel like that Jade needs to work with those that will probably tell her to calm down and be able to potato her if need be. And, you know, Jordynne, she's probably going to be on try to be her best good grace, but she's going to be working stiff. I'm looking forward to that. Julia also getting the Women's United States Championship again.
Thank you.
It's great because, of course, like, now you can start moving Tiffany Shredden and Jordan Grace around and making sure y'all can get some shit going there. Yeah. And now, and you also include the fact that we're getting ahead of here, but with Io Sky and Rhea Ripley as the WWE Women's Tag Champs, SmackDown's going to have them as well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not give them a lot, but they're going to be there. And they're going to need them.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, you're right about that, man. You know, it's, and then also, and I don't know if this is even true or the how validity of this. I mean, shit, based off of what I saw from NXT last night, it does make you wonder if there is any truth or any type of anything towards Blake Monroe. I don't know. Like,
not just Blake. Blake, Lola Vice, like there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think the calls are going to end. There's going to be more space, man, opening up as the ending of NXT suggested. That, you know, even Kalani Jordan, like there's going to be some more opportunities coming with the NXT calls. But you know, with more people moving up, there's going to be some folks either moving down or moving out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope people are prepared for that case because that does happen. And we're going to get some turnover. And obviously, you know, the IWC will not be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the business. Like, that's what gets me a lot of that times, man. It's like people act stunned, like as if they never, like, how long have you been around? Like, what the fuck? What? Come on now. Like, let's stop. Like, stop the that's the thing, man. It's like, there's just certain people I'm just like, stop the fucking complaining every single time. Like, just, it's part of the business, man. Like, it's nothing new. We've seen this shit happen in so many years. Like, you know how the process goes. And every year there's people that, sometimes the same ones, that they act shocked and like, oh my gosh, how could they do this? Like, shut the fuck up. let's not be ignorant now. Like, be blind all of a sudden. So, you know, these call-ups are going to happen. And then, and listen, NXT, NXT every now and then, man, they need a shakeup. They need something.
Yeah, they need a hard reset.
You know, and I really feel like they're at that point now where they need to.
The shows were bad, man.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if the shows were as bad because I think everybody pretty much knew, like everybody knew, like there was like a holding pattern.
Yes.
You know,
it had to be, you know, but try to figure out who's going to get called up.
That's
who's moving. A lot of plans being scrapped.
Yeah. So,
And now, you know, you're going to get the growing pains of the transition. But like with every era that they had at NXT, it's going to bounce back and it's going to be all right.
Of course. Of course. Shit, I still remember the complaints that people were having after the black and gold turned into the 2.0 era. You know?
Yeah.
You know, we remember how the people were just getting on NXT about that. Man, what do you mean? What is this shit? You know, then, hey, birth the Bron Breakers, you know. So, you know, which is a great segue into Monday Night Raw celebrating their 2-year anniversary on Netflix this past Monday. The headliner of that show was the informative Bron Breakker going up against CM Punk, World Heavyweight title. And the fact that, number one, man, the match didn't go as much as short as you thought it was initially when we discussed it weeks ago.
Yeah, they had a main event match, man.
But it was a great entertaining match.
Great.
I enjoyed that match. I really did. And man, Punk, man. There are times I'd be worried. So I'm like, dude, like, why sometimes Punk be looking like, man, like this dude looked like he's about to just he's about to just collapse.
He's a smart old man worker, bro.
Yeah, yeah. kind of reminds me of, you know, Logan, the movie, right? The Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, his powers is not as, his healing powers and everything is not as sharp and quick as it used to be, but it's the smarts. It's relying more on the smarts than the actual superhero ability.
His survival instincts.
Yes. You know? There you go.
And that's
yes.
what he was. He was trying to survive the entire match.
Right.
You know, just avoid getting speared. And meanwhile, yes. Braun, you know, is a simple young athletic, you know, upstart against the old wily veteran. And the young upstart more prone to taking more risk in order to just get the job done as quickly as possible. And he took some risk here, man. He landed on his head.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say it was a botch or a drive. I'm pretty sure he was supposed to get countered on that anyway. Well, but he just dropped on his dome. Which is becoming more common for this guy now. And for some reason, he's just good to go. He bounced back from it like nothing happened. And, you know, even after that point, the match just got really dramatic towards the end. You know, Punk was finding multiple ways just countering or moving away from his spear.
Yeah.
And even with the interference that came through, it was a great spotlight to put for Penta and Dragon Lee to really be involved in this Vision storyline. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, I think they're going to branch those two off and tagging up against those three with Ray, Penta, and Dragon Lee against Logan, Austin Theory, and Bronson Reed for the time being,
which is
pretty cool. And you know, but for Braun, you know, again, like this is common for what we see him in his every time he has the first title opportunity, he gets overzealous and will, you know, do something that he has no business doing, out of desperation or just trying to, you know, just, you know, be better. I've never seen this motherfucker do a Fujiwara armbar in my
Me
life.
Neither. I know.
and I see him do it in his match. I'm like, well, that's interesting. That's new.
Man, when he did that move, I was just like, oh, I can, like, he does the Fuji armbar? Like, like.
I mean, but it left him open for an Anaconda Vice counter, which was dumb. It did, you know, there was, normally he does that lariat clothesline off the apron to the outside. And decided to do it off the top rope and through the table, which, you know, could have ended most guys, but this was CM Punk. Again, his only intention was to counter and avoid the spear, which he did, hitting a jump, one of the worst jumping knees you'll ever see, by the way. But followed it up with the go to sleep, 1, 2, 3, 26-minute match, excellent match, great story.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something to build upon for Braun, where he, you know, does get to that point where he is ready and capable of becoming world champion down the line, just not now.
Yeah.
And it's been the most simple story that they told of this guy since he's been in the WWE from the very onset.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course there were some cries about, oh man, am I not, like, wow, you just halted his momentum and his push and stuff like that. I'm like, People, it's a story. We're just in the chat. We're not at the final chapter yet. patience, man. Punk, I'll tell you what, Punk had the reversal badge for sure. And every time Braun kept on coming at him, like, Punk just kept on hit that Y button conveniently at the right time for all the people that played WWE 2K6, 2K26. You know what I'm talking about.
Y or X,
that's right. That's right, man. You know, he kept them reversing all the spear attempts. And it's smart. Like, it's really the smartest, really is the most common sense and logical thing. Do whatever you got to do to avoid the spear. Simple as that. Because Punk knows that spear hits him. That's it. You know, so.
Wrestling 101, man.
That is as simple as that, man. You know, now, I guess what begs the question, you know, after this match, and I guess for both, for Punk and Braun. Let me ask first, Punk, where does Punk go from here? I know the Rumble is he's going to be the champion going into Rumble. What's next for him? I know, is Gunther anytime? Is he in the picture anytime? Again for another, you know, title match again, you know, with Punk or what? Like that's what I'm wondering with Punk.
As of right now, not yet.
Right.
I mean, at this point, he got a title bigger than the world title to him right now. That was making John Cena tap out.
Yes.
And retiring John Cena.
Yeah.
I mean, I just know that the match of AJ, next week is going to be tremendous.
Let it be a clean match too. I wanted a clean match.
It's going to be the main event. It's going to be in Dusseldorf, in Germany.
Germany,
like
good.
Right off the outskirts of Austria. Like, I mean, it's going to be a very partisan crowd for sure. I mean, there's going to be a lot of AJ fans, but it's damn sure going to be a whole lot of Gunther fans, and he got practically home court advantage.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to give them a lot of time too, as they should.
Of course.
It's going to be a multi match program between those two.
But
as far as like Gunther getting another title shot, it probably won't be until after Elimination Chamber. I mean,
okay.
If he goes, I mean, there's not that much else that he could do other than put him back in the title run.
Yeah, picture. Yeah, right, right. You know, so yeah, that's you're right. That's the only other way. That's the only other thing, man. In a sense,
he could take his breaks and whatnot. But I'm like, yo, you know, you gotta milk this for all it's worth now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You know what match? I know it's not going to be televised because it's going to be at a non-televised house match in Germany, man. I am eager to see that Gunther and El Grande Americano match.
Oh, you know, there's going to be a camera rip of that. I'm definitely looking forward to that match.
Man, that's going to be fun. The cameras. I'm pretty sure they got to be there to record that, man. That's a match. I don't think I ever recall seeing them face against each other because they always, you know, they always was part of Imperium. So, you know, I don't recall ever a time where Ludwig and Gunther had to face each other. Now, unless
I'm pretty sure they definitely face each other like in, you know.
Oh, yeah,
back
yeah.
in Europe and their indie
right,
days,
but, right, right. But I'm talking about as.
Yeah, now this will be interesting as hell. But, you know, it's. Ludwig is Grande Americano. It's going to be interesting to see how the interactions between those two are for that match. Like, will Gunther see through the charade?
Man, those two are going to have the most fun. Like, they're going to have
that's going to be a fun match.
They're going to have a ball. Like, when you have friends, you have one of your closest friends, you're going against each other. And, like, two contrasting styles. And even though Ludwig, like I said, he can switch it up now with the Lucha stuff. Man, dang, I wish that was on TV. I wish that was on TV because I would have loved to see just that interaction between those two. But for Bron Breakker, like, what does that bring him to? I guess he's going to have to go into the Rumble and going to have to win it, huh? I guess, you know.
I mean, he's going to be one of many.
Yeah.
One of many options going into that Rumble. But I'm not sure, man. I see him in there as a favorite, but you know, I really don't know what else to expect from him.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Right.
Because I don't see AJ's not retiring anytime soon right now. And we're going this route already. So I don't think Gunther's going to be the guy that does him in. You know, I don't even see. I feel like AJ's and Ray's retirements are going to be very different or on their own from Gunther.
Yes.
But they're still going to interact with him.
Yeah.
Going forward. And because I do need that Ray Gunther match. I do need to see, you know, this AJ Gunther match. But I want to see more than one, you know. But yeah, I'm like, I just see him becoming three-time world champion when it's all said and done.
Yeah. And don't forget, I know this is, and for Gunther, that's something that's far, 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 far ahead.
Yeah.
But I think they have that inevitable match that they wanted to do years ago that they held off on, I think.
Oh,
that,
yeah. Him and Brock. Yeah. That's the only other. So I don't see the title coming his way anytime soon.
Yeah.
Until
and I could actually see that being a SummerSlam match between him and Brock.
Yeah.
You know, for Brock's potential, I guess, last match. But I don't know. I don't know if they want to go that route. But other major developments, since we're talking about title, and I'll get to the women's stuff in a second real quick. And then also in Germany on Friday, Cody versus Drew McIntyre, three stages of hell match.
It's going to be weird as hell watching that match at 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Right. I'm working from home, but I'm still. Yeah.
I'm like, that's going to be a crazy, crazy main event. You think Drew's going to pull it off, bro?
Yes. I think it's time.
I'm like, if he doesn't do it, you got to put the fries in the bag, man. No more excuses. Like,
yeah.
It's got to be it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to put Cody's rage, you know, likely going to get the best of him this time around. If Drew's able to pull it off, that's great, because you have to open up the world title scene, just a little bit right now. And
he's at his best when he's chasing anyway.
Yeah, and then you have the number of guys that could chase after Drew at this moment. You know, let Drew get this run,
now
going into Mania, and then drop it from there. I feel like Cody's going to be in the main event somewhere.
There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that, man. You know, so, yeah, it's – I can't recall the last time I remember seeing a three stages of hell match on a WWE event in general. Can't recall the last time that I've seen it. They don't do it much.
They haven't. They haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. I guess I have to look that up to see – when the last time it happened, man. And it's crazy because I really only remember it happening one time ever, on at least to my memory. Because that was like the infamous No Way Out 2001.
I mean, yeah, that was the best one.
Yeah, Austin and Triple H.
Austin Triple H. But it's just happened a few times.
Let me see. You
know, just different ones. I mean, I remember Kurt Angle, Benoit, Three Stages of Hell, where, you know, it was like a wrestling match, submission match, and a ladder match. I think Shawn Michaels and Triple H had one, I believe, for Armageddon 2002. I don't think I've watched that one in full, but I remember it being very long.
Huh.
Ah, okay. Randy Orton and Triple H also had one at The Bash 2009. John Cena and Ryback, 2023
payback. Yeah.
2013 payback. And Johnny Gargano and
Adam Cole. Yeah.
Takeover Toronto 2 and Colorado Adam Cole Takeover 36. So, yes, those were the ones, last three Stages of Hell matches there were. But I vividly do remember the Cole-Gargano match. I think that match went like 40 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. That was a long one.
Dang, I totally forgot about that Cole and Gargano. You're right. Golly. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, McIntyre and Cody, that match is going to be long. It's three hour SmackDown now.
Yeah. I mean, SmackDown, yeah.
3 hour SmackDown now. You know, they're going to take up the entire third hour.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I like, and speaking of the NXT call-ups, man, Trick that segment, in-ring segment between Trick and Sami Zayn, man, that was
hell of a reaction from the crowd, man.
Yeah, I
love the fur coat that he has now. The lemon pepper steppers, as he say as well. Like, he's already have five different quotables in his first main roster promo,
man.
And yeah, he got new shirts already off of that. You know, just from the quotes that he's done, bro.
Crazy. I was watching that, and like, and it, to me, I felt like it's perfect. And then they have a match on Friday also.
It's going to be Trick in Phoenix right now.
Trick in Phoenix. Right. Because Phoenix, he got in Trick's face and backstage.
Yeah. Should be an interesting one.
Yeah. No, but it's Trick on SmackDown, man. Like.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he's going to have, in 3 hours, he's going to have a lot of room.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Have a lot of leeway. And of course, you know, his old running buddy, Carmelo Hayes. I believe he's going to also do a United States title challenge. The open challenge is back up and running. So hopefully he gets a match as well that 1 week. But yeah, it's only a matter of time before they, you know, get to interact with one another again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's like I said, it's good to have him back there. Have him on SmackDown now. And then Sami Zayn, I mean, listen, you know, what else can you say about Sami, man? Like, that dude, if there's any, I don't know, man. I know it's too early to speak for Royal Rumble stuff, man, but Sami, man, it just sounds like that's the direction they're going with, because he wants that title. He's tired. Yeah. He's tired of having his secondary ones. He wants a major one. And hey, Sami Zayn winning a major title, whether it's the WWE or the Universal Championship, man. Like, man, that's Sami Zayn, for him to win that. That'd be great, man. That'd be a great underdog story, as he always does. But like I said, that's too far ahead, and there's a lot can change before then. Yeah. I'm trying to think, what was the other, and then obviously for the women, let me get on there. You know, you had Rhea and Io versus the Kabuki Warriors on Monday. You know, Rhea and Io, as expected, they won. They're the new women's tag champions, and you know, with them, as you were saying a few minutes ago, with them being champions now, which was a hell of a match, fine match. You know, them being on SmackDown now, because there are some challengers on the SmackDown side, you know, so you got your Charlotte and
Alexa
and Alexa, and you got, you know,
Nia and Lash, that bad and bougie duo.
You even got on Raw. Can't forget, you know, Lyra and Bayley.
And the Judgment Day as well. Or of course, Liv and Roxanne, I would say.
Yeah. But
Io and Rhea be on SmackDown was just it's so needed for that division and
for that show.
You know, you're and for the show ended the show too, most definitely. But for the division and the show, and you know, just having that star power there, you're likely going to get more Rhea and Io singles matches on SmackDown, and you know, it really just more Io in general, and you know, and hopefully, you know, you do get to see them interact with like Julia and Kiana. Like, you just have a one-off with those. So we could get more interaction between, you know, Julia working with Rhea and Io. It elevate her as well, because she's, you know, she's just been relatively cold on SmackDown. You know, especially since dropping the title and now regaining it. Yeah. But she just has to go and reestablish herself as a force. And now, you know, bringing in Jordynne Grace, you know, having the tag champs there, and hopefully some more calls along the way, you know, we could get to see, you know, Julia at her fullest potential.
Right. You're right about that, because her, I feel like her other, her equal counterpart on Raw side was Stephanie Vaquer. Listen, she's had a hell of a 2025. Definitely going to have a hell of a 2026 for sure. But listen, man, I really dug Raquel. You know, she's taking it in her own hands, man, and just not just only beat her in the ring, but beat her at backstage too. Adam Pearce, man, sometimes I'm like, dude, you should have just threw her out the arena right there and then the first time. Like, just telling her to go to the back. Like, come on, man. Like, just throw her out there, dag arena, you know. But hey, Raquel, like, she's like, hey, listen, I'm gonna do this on my own. But it turned, and I think when she had that match, was it the triple threat match? Was it not this past Monday? It was the previous Monday, right?
Yeah,
with her and Nikki Bella. And you know, and shout out to Nikki. That, you know, previously before the match, you know, obviously Liv and Roxanne had offered help, and Raquel was like, no, I want to do this on my own. And it's like, well, all right, you want to do it on your own. And it kind of turned to bite her in the ass because, you know, when she had the opportunity, when she tried to do the Tejada bomb, you know, the dual one, and it didn't work out. And, you know, Stephanie caught her at the right time, you know, for the pin. You know, hey, typically around that at that moment, you know, either, you know, Liv or Roxanne, they would be out there, you know, on the ring apron trying to get the referee's attention and whatnot, distraction. It wasn't the case this time, and then Stephanie had won. You know, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be further developments with that whole ordeal, and Raquel and her relationship with Liv and Roxanne, as I'm pretty sure, as the weeks go on and stuff. So that's also something to look at. And then also lastly, you know, Becky Lynch had, you know, she regained her women's intercontinental title from, Maxine, you know, which Becky says, like, you know, tell Maxine, enjoy your honeymoon. You know, but that match, you know, I will say, and we talked about it previously, you know, because this was like their third match that they had, or fourth. Is it their third match they've had against each other?
This will be the fourth match. It's your second in New York.
Right. Still, it still doesn't. Gives me the same feeling as it was that match that she had. What was it? I think the second time where they faced each other. Match was okay, but you know, we've seen better. But I think the story that was being told in this one was more so of Becky really, really being desperate, pulling out all the tricks that she can to, you know, to win, using her smarts and her experience around the ring, and you know, as compared to Maxine still, you know, no pun intended, you know, learning the ropes, despite her being champion and, you know, getting all this training with Natalia and stuff, you can't substitute that with years experience. And I really feel like that's what it was. It's like, yeah, you can be all this, whatever, but you're not smarter than me. And, you know, and to Becky's credit, it worked. It worked out. But Becky's been, you know, Becky really doesn't need that Intercontinental title, honestly. She really doesn't need it. But
not really.
No, you know. Go ahead.
You know, I'm really, you know, considering that they are putting a lot of focus on Raquel being elevated in the world title program, and Liv and Roxanne, I think they're subjugated right now to the tag division prior to the Rumble. I'm just intrigued seeing how the rest of the mid card is forming around, especially with Becky being in her second Intercontinental title reign. You know, because, you know, a lot of the other ones are floating in, you know, either floating in the tag division or like with Bayley and Lyra, they already worked with her. I'm wondering to see, you know, what trajectory is going to be, you know, for Becky going forward. I mean, she's going to try to put Maxine over again. That's pretty likely. But I'm like, when is it time for her to start working, you know, with Stephanie or Rhea or Io?
Yeah.
And get back at the top again, you know. So I'm just intrigued about that.
Oh, yeah, man. Possibilities, man, possibilities. But, you know, there's a lot of questions that we have, you know, like I said, starting off the year with a lot of this. And I'm pretty sure a lot of the answers will come in due time, you know, like I said, as we're gearing up towards the Rumble. So I'm pretty sure there'll be a little bit more. At least I'm hoping there's going to be some clarity regarding that. And we may not get the answer, especially specifically for the women's division on Raw. You know, we may not get that answer until after the Rumble. I don't know. You know, where they start to build up for Elimination Chamber. And I really feel like when that build up to Elimination Chamber, especially for the women's division, I think that's when we're really going to see a lot of, I think that's when we'll start to see some clarity with stuff, because there's no tag teams in the Elimination Chamber. So it's yourself. So at some point, like on both shows, like there's going to have to be, something's going to have to give. And that's why, you know, why they're partially trying to, you know, stock up the depth for women's division, the mid card, and you know, with these NXT call ups and you know, see what happens from there. You know, so
yeah.
A lot that remains to be seen, but we just gotta be patient to find out. But speaking of patience, thank you everybody that is listen to the episode.
Hey man, this is a good ride, man. Especially, you know, the week that's been transpiring. Like,
yeah.
Like it's been crazy. But I'm like, for me again,
I know you're elated.
It's lit.
you're elated, man. I get it. Hey, listen, I'm elated too, man. It's even though I'm not, you know, all of my North Carolina is doing well. You know, they even though they got beaten by SMU the other day, but they're starting off on the right foot. Like I said, my Canes, you know, we playing bowl games, so we're straight. You know, my hockey team is doing good. They're fine. You know, we just beat the brakes off of the New Jersey Devils last night, 9-0, which is crazy. Like, a hockey game where the score is 9-0. It's and especially if it's coming from us, it's ridiculous. But hey, man, I do want to say shout out to Anthony Duclair. Hey, man, brothers in hockey, love to see it. He in that game last night, he had 5 points, a hat trick and 5 points. He put up a number. Cool. Yeah, he had there was a stat. Let me read the stat real quick, because I think you enjoy hearing this one specifically.
I love
where,
numbers. Yes.
Specifically, who he is in this stat with. Okay. Let me see. Let me find this real quick. Promise ain't gonna take long. Ain't gonna take long. Where was it? I saw it. Yes. So he is Anthony Duclair. First NHL player to have a natural hat trick, which is 3 in a row.
Uh-huh.
3 straight goals. 5 or more points.
Mm.
A +6 or better rating.
Ooh.
All in one game. The last person that did it was on February 18th, 1981.
Mm.
Take a guess who that person was, Chris.
1981, Gretzky.
You're right. Yep. So it was only him.
Player I know of the 80s.
But still, the fact that he shares that record now, that stat line with Gretzky, that's crazy. That's insane. Hey, come on, man. Out of all the players, the great one to have a stat you share, a distinct. That you share with him. Come on, that's dope, man. But yeah, you know. So you know, you're not the only one elated. I'm elated in my own way, with that though. So yeah, remains to be seen in a lot of spaces, man. A lot of sports, leagues, and just gotta enjoy the ride, as you said. So you know, appreciate everybody that is taking the time to listen to the podcast. This episode, as always, you could find us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, pretty much anywhere where you can listen to podcasts at. We are there. So No Words Ball Podcast, do a search on it, leave a review, rating, comment, anything. You can find us on the socials. On Twitter, it is NW Bard Podcast, for the podcast page. Moby Noen, for me, Rappers Actors for Chris. If you like, you hit us up individually. Cool, we all friendly. Don't mind the tweets. We're not gonna don't let the tweets scare you. We're very passionate about our sports in wrestling.
Yeah.
you could also find us on Instagram, No Words Bardcast, on there. I think that pretty much cleans up everything else, man. But as always, we'll catch y'all a couple of weeks. More than likely, probably some NBA trade is going to happen tomorrow. So this is being Wednesday.
I hope so, man.
This being Wednesday night, Thursday on the 8th of January, chances are something big is going to happen. So if you happen to listen to the podcast after those days, then you know. We were just talking in past tense. But as always, thank you. Appreciate everybody. Y'all be cool. Y'all be safe wherever you're at. And catch you next time.
Peace.